And there you are. A very good morning to you. Welcome along to Bromley Saturday morning get together. And this one is a general election special. And after getting over my, well, it seemed like jet lag, because by the time the results were finally declared, it was round about 5:20 yesterday morning that I left the Civic Centre there at Bromley. And they did a very, very good job as well of doing that, the organisation and everything that went on there in that nice new Civic Centre, which was formerly the Churchill Building, of course, there at the corner of Westmoreland Road and the High Street there. We were there, and it was wonderful to be there. It really was quite an eye-opener. So we got quite a lot to get through here, including interviews and the declarations. And, of course, we will have the number one songs from this week, 60, 50, 40 and 30 years ago. And of course, we will make the election part of it. We'll feature that as a standalone podcast on its own there. All right, well, let's get on with it. There's only one song. It's Mr. Alice Cooper from the 70s.
I'm
Alice Cooper and Elected. Well, did you get what you wanted with your cross on your ballot paper? We got into the Civic Centre. We arrived there about midnight. It was a whole flurry of activity going on there. I think almost up to 1,000 people were there. The counting, candidates, their party workers, local councillors there. It was a hive of activity there. Lots and lots of people milling around. And we went there for media coverage there. As the local radio station, of course, but yes, I was rubbing shoulders with people from the BBC and ITN, indeed. I wasn't tip-tapping on my laptop there with the youngsters there. Oh no, I was just wandering around with my phone and my recorder. And here's the first interview we got. Here he is, as I refer to him, Dr. Mayor David Jeffries. He was there. He was the, what do they call it, the presiding officer, or, you know, the one who announces the declarations, yes. I think it's called a presiding officer, yes. Still learning about these terms and different things and what they mean. We managed to catch up with him, looking fine in his regalia, along with his assistant there, Peter, who, yes, first met him when he was accompanying Mayor Hannah Gray. Oh, that seems so long ago now. But here is our interview with the new Mayor of Bromley, David Jeffries.
Here's the Mayor, he's here in his full regalia here for the Council, Bromley Council. So you're now, being the Mayor, you're technically a neutral now, aren't you?
That's right, well, not only as the Mayor, but as a returning officer, strictly neutral, yes.
Ah, and you'll be the returning officer?
Yes, I'll be...
Making the declarations?
I'll be declaring the three results here, and then for Eltham and Chislehurst, they're actually counted and declared in Greenwich, in the Royal Borough of Greenwich.
Ah, how do we get that result from them?
I presume we'll get that from the media, as with everybody else, actually.
Right. How interesting, how interesting. Well, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Obviously, it's our pleasure. And the first time in the new building here.
Yes, it is. It's nice that we're actually using this building tonight.
Yes.
Or this morning, I should say.
Indeed. As we're talking now at 1:30 in the morning.
Indeed, yes. And it was great to see how many people were at the... I don't know what the turnout will be, but we went round about 45 of the polling stations.
Did you really?
Yesterday morning. And it was great to see the...
Yes, it's very steady from what I've heard.
Very steady indeed, yes.
Yes, so, and the weather helped as well.
I think so, yes, after all the bad weather we've had. But thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, and it'll be your dulcet tones we'll hear later on.
Thank you indeed.
As the returning officer. Thank you very much, sir.
There you go. Returning officer on the evening... The Mayor of Bromley. Thank you very much, sir. And we also got an interview with one of the names that you would see on the paper, one of the parties, a new party, one called the Climate Party. And here's Karen Miller.
Hi, my name is Karen Miller, and I'm standing from the Bromley and Biggin Hill area for the Climate Party.
The Climate Party?
Climate Party, not the, it's Climate Party.
Climate.
Yes, that's correct,
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you know, are there any other constituencies in the country that are being represented by yourself?
Yeah, so we have Clacton, we have Buckinghamshire, and there's quite a few, but those just are some of the ones that are from the top of my head at the moment.
Right, okay. And an obvious question for me, and I'm not a journalist,
yeah,
but what would you say is the differences between yourselves, very obvious question, yourselves, Climate Party, and the Green Party?
Well, I think one of the key things with us between the Green Party and the Climate Party is that we take a more, I would say, pragmatic approach to our green argument. Right. What we're saying is, as a party, we recognise that there are opportunities within the green agenda or in terms of climate, and we want to promote and encourage more businesses to take it more seriously and actually look at the opportunities that are there. So that's around like green jobs, you know, that's also around like the, for us, the net 2030 approach as well, kind of like really reducing that, and as UK to be leaders in that argument, so being one of the main leaders in the country and across the world. And I don't think that we are. I think there are other countries. Well, there are other countries that are taking more of a lead in regards to that.
Okay, so why do we need to be leaders rather than, shall we say, at the beginning, and inspirers, shall we say, or influencers rather than leaders? I mean, there are bigger countries in the world than little old Britain.
Yeah, there are bigger countries, but I think one of the things that we need to recognise is that we are able to lead more on the agenda, and I think some of the other parties are not taking that as seriously as we can.
Thank you very much, Karen Miller of Climate Party there. Just to balance things up, of course, and as we headed into the early hours of the morning, I probably appear to be looking a bit bewildered by it all. And fortunately for me, and I think I might have been observed looking bewildered, but fortunately for me, Councillor Simon Forthrop, he obviously observed me looking a bit bewildered, and he just happened to make himself be wandering by when I caught up with him.
Ah, Councillor, how are you, sir?
Hello, Mick.
May we have a quick word?
Of course you can have a quick word.
Okay, so you've been obviously over the Petswood Orpington area.
Yeah.
You've been out on the campaign trail and
yeah.
along with Gareth Bacon.
Indeed, and local councillors from that area.
Yes,
so we're doing,
yeah.
doing a good job.
Yes.
It's great because we've had the chance to talk to lots and lots of people, which has been absolutely amazing. I mean, it's the best part of elections, talking to people and getting their feedback. Sometimes it's good and sometimes maybe less so. But it's always great to talk to people.
And with that feedback, does...
Well, I mean, you can't say anything until anything officially is over.
Yes,
but,
indeed.
But, you know, we are confident that we will hold, or reasonably confident that we should hope to hold Orpington for the Conservatives.
Gareth Bacon in.
So we'll see. You know, the votes haven't been counted yet, but, you know, we've got a good feeling about it. So.
Yes. So what is the state of play at the moment? Because you've been walking the floor, shall we say.
That sounds like a manager, doesn't it? You've been walking the floor, yeah.
Yeah. But you've been walking the floor. So what is the state of play as we're talking now at 10 minutes before 2 a.m. on July
the 5th? There's various stages they've got to go through. The first stage is they verified the balance in the ballot box. And so for your listeners, this is quite an interesting experience. So what happens is all the ballot boxes come back, and then they have to check that the number of ballots in the ballot box equals the number that they issued, because that's like an audit on what took place. And so once they've done that, so they empty out the ballot boxes at that stage, and then they count the ballots in the box to make sure that it matches. Now, sometimes it might be the odd one because someone might put it in a different ballot box. So you might have, if you take one of my polling stations in Westwood, the three ballot boxes in the same polling station, and someone could accidentally put it in the wrong one. Sometimes that sort of thing happens. But, you know, they usually work it all out and make sure it all sort of adds up. That's the first stage. Then the second stage is that they come along and they sort the ballots into the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So each candidate will have a little pile of ballots. I say little, but eventually over the night it'll get bigger and bigger. So that's the second stage. And then the third stage is they actually count the ballots. So having sorted them into the different political parties, they then count the ballots. And that's when the actual result is known. But obviously, because we see what's happening at stage one and stage two, you get a feel for what's going on.
Okay.
So
now, something that's been very popular in more recent years is your postal ballots.
Yes, indeed.
So what are the cross checks and balances involved? So you send out, somebody's requested a postal ballot, you send out the ballot, and I suppose a returning envelope for them, the postal ballot.
You get an envelope to send it back in. And it's there for, really, it was originally primarily for people who, for whatever reason, couldn't get to the ballot. So, for example, if you were ill and couldn't get out, or, for example, if you was working abroad, or you was away for the day and you couldn't get back, you know, then that used to happen quite a lot. But nowadays, they sort of more or less seem to be on demand almost, which is a bit concerning to some extent.
Yes, indeed, and that's what I was thinking, because obviously, I mean, has there ever been a case where you get more ballot papers posted back to you than what was sent out?
No, I don't think we usually get... I don't think that's ever happened.
I mean, do you keep the envelopes and the papers?
I mean, I suppose one of the advantages of postal ballots is that there is a higher turnout. So, for example, usually, let's say they send out 100, you might expect to get 80 back. Whereas where people vote in a ballot box and go to the polling station, you know, it varies on what the turnout might be. It might only be 60 out of 100, or it might be 65. And usually, as the push, it's about 70, 75. That's on a very good turnout. So you get a higher turnout. So it's good because it encourages people to vote. So that's a positive.
That's right.
But also, it is probably more open to fraud than anything else, because the whole idea of the ballot box and being able to vote in a booth was that nobody could influence you.
Correct.
And whilst that seems fine, but if someone else is there and it goes to a family where someone puts pressure on you, or you've got a bully that pressurises someone, then you can get intimidations to how people should vote, etc. So that's one of the areas for concern. Of course, we can't prove that.
No.
And I don't want to suggest that happens in most cases, but what I would say is that it is an area where you can see an abuse could take place.
Indeed.
Whereas if you go into a polling station and you vote in that booth, nobody can see what you do, and it's a secret ballot.
Yeah, between you
and that's the whole point. It's a secret ballot, and that's where postal votes are open to abuse, because someone else might see what that ballot is and what's happening. But so the swings and roundabouts.
Oh, like, yes. And did you know, in certain parts of the USA, bars are not allowed to open because, hey, Simon, buddy, say what, the guy's going to be conservative. He's a great guy. What are you having a drink?
Yeah, well, I mean, in this country, we stopped that sort of thing many, many years ago, called treating. There was an electoral offence of treating.
Treating?
Yes.
Oh, we're learning something
listener. I'm no expert on election law, but, if I was to go and buy everybody a drink in Petswood and Old Ward, then I would be treating people, and that would be an abuse of process. And the idea is to stop people who are very rich from being able to abuse the system and buy the votes, which is what can happen.
Yep.
Which is why there's a set limit on election expenses and the like.
Yes.
So that as to what people can spend, so that nobody can. Yeah, I mean, you can spend up to maximum, but that is the same for everybody.
Correct.
So that's
so everything's fair and equitable.
To try and make it as fair and equitable as possible. And clearly, in some places, so a minority candidate is not going to have the same amount of money as, a political party, for example.
Correct.
So somebody standing as an independent is going to find it very hard. Again, if you're a minor party like the Greens or something like that, you're going to find it very hard.
Oh, we've even got a climate party representative here, and who's on the ballot paper today.
Well, there you go. That's of interest. But, of course, there's a restriction on that, because people have to pay a £5,000 deposit. And if you don't get, I think it's £5,000.
Yes.
But if you don't get a certain percentage of the votes, I think it's 5%, then you lose your deposit. And that's to help pay for the election.
Sure, because, of course.
It's to stop lots and lots of people taking advantage. And in fact, many years ago in by-elections, and this is true, you used to get companies that would register so they could advertise on TV for free. And so effectively, because they had to announce all the candidates.
Yes.
So you'd have, Mr. Bricklayer Esquire, or whatever it was, and he'd get a free advert on TV when they're announcing the results, and such like, because they had to go through all the results.
Much to my amusement, much to the amusement of my American broadcasting friends, you get people like Lord Buckethead.
And
then it was Screaming Lord Such.
Indeed.
Course.
Well, Screaming Lord Such was the pioneer in all of this.
Yes.
And of course, he started off as a rock band, of course.
That's right,
People.
Was he the Monster Raving Loony Party?
He was.
Inspired by Monty Python.
Because he had a hit called Jack the Ripper in the 1960s, Monty Python.
Yeah.
So it was sort of quite interesting. Isn't it great that in a democracy you can have someone who's taken the mick out of democracy standing?
Indeed.
That's great.
Yeah.
And actually, providing they don't take themselves seriously. But the problem is sometimes some of these people who want to be humorous candidates start getting political.
Yeah.
By that I mean, trying to go one way or another.
Yes.
And actually they do themselves a disservice, because by being the humorous candidate, they can actually add more to an election process than by trying to interfere.
Yes. So these announcements we can hear in the background here, so yeah, what are they actually indicating
Well, at the moment, I think you're hearing about ballot papers that are what they call questionable.
Oh, yes.
By that, so that,
doubtful.
For example...
Doubtful. There's doubtful. A tray there. I've just asked the lovely people over there.
Doubtful.
So there's your spoiled papers.
No, not necessarily. So, for example, occasionally you get somebody puts a cross, they realise, actually, no, that's the wrong box. That wasn't the person I was wanting to do. So they cross it out, and they put a cross somewhere else. Mm. Someone would say, well, hang on a second, was that what it's meant to be? And so it just goes there to be checked to make sure that is what the implication is, what they're trying to vote.
So that's taken into consideration, shall we say?
Yeah.
Because you didn't put the cross in the right way.
And it's a bit like someone might put a number one there. And so people, that has to be judged. You know, I've seen them before ranked 1 to 6, and you have to think, you know, who are they aiming to vote for?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the one with 6 or the one with 1, you know, whatever. So, you know, those sort of things that you get.
Because we don't, as members of the public, we don't get to see those papers as such.
Well, one of the things that I think people should campaign for is for full transparency of this process, so that it can be filmed. Because at the moment, you can't film it. But I think it's filmed in a controlled way.
Yes.
I think that would be good, because people can see the process and see that it's basically not corrupt. Because you get people say, oh, you know, it's all corrupt and all the rest of it. Well, it's not.
The hanging chad, for example, when I was living in America, you know,
but not here.
No.
Because we don't have that sort of system. But so it would give people confidence. But also, why not show them, you know, these are the doubtful ballots, and this is why we're adjudicating that in favour of so-and-so.
Yes.
Or sometimes you say, no, that is void. So, for example, you might have 2 crosses and 2 boxes. Yeah. You're only entitled to 1 vote.
Yeah.
So clearly that's not clear as to who they want to vote for. So it gets avoided and such like. So it's an interesting process.
Yes.
And as I say, the difference between this and some of you will be saying, well, why don't we do it all electronically? Why don't we do this, that and the other? There's 2 problems with that. The first one is that algorithms and computer programming, it can be changed in the background so that you don't know what someone's doing. And if they release the code, which they wouldn't do because it's going to be, because you've invested in some software, why are you going to release the code? Then you have to know that the person who's looking at the code isn't also part of the scam. So it's very hard to prove things.
And it
could be open to abuse. So I'm not a great. So I may sound like a dinosaur.
No,
I may sound like a dinosaur. I mean, it'd be nice if it could, but the problem is that if someone can change it without you knowing, it's very hard. Whereas changing ballot papers, it's very hard to do physically. It's very, it's not. Nothing is impossible, but it's so hard to do it because, as I said earlier on, they count how many ballot papers they issue.
Yeah.
And they put a time on every time they start a new sheet.
Yes.
So let's say they have a stub with 1,000 sheets of ballot papers on it. So at 7 o'clock in the morning, they'll put the first time on there. So you can see on the first page of that stub, it's 7 o'clock.
There's a time on it.
And then at the second stage, let's say it's at 8 o'clock and so on and so forth. So at 10 o'clock, you know, or 10 to 10, they issue the last one or whatever it is. Well, if any come in after that, you know, you've got to put the time in. So it's to stop people being fraudulent and trying to stuff the ballot box at the end of the day, because that could also be a worry. So it would be an unusual pattern as well if you saw that. So there's all these checks and balances in place to protect people's votes. Because one thing that is important is that whatever your status in life, no matter whether you're rich, poor, whatever, on a day when you have a vote, you are the same as every other person that votes.
Okay.
But also, you know, let's face it, elections are exciting, aren't they?
They absolutely are. They absolutely are. I love election nights,
There we go. But anyway, good talking to you, Mick.
Bless you,
I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
Thank you very much. Councillor Simon Thorthrop there.
Thank you very much.
Pitchwood, thank you.
The number one song this week from 1964. And yes, the sun was rising when I left there.
There is a heart.
The Animals, The House of the Rising Sun, number one this week in 1964. And we continue with our election coverage.
I, David Jeffries, being returning officer for the Beckenham and Penge constituency, do hereby give notice that the number of votes recorded for each candidate is as follows. Demetrios Angelo Edward Apostolides, commonly known as Edward Apostolides, Reform UK, 5355. Liam Joseph Conlon, commonly known as Liam Conlon, Labour Party, 257753. Ruth Fabricant, Green Party, 3830. Jennifer Hannah Gray, commonly known as Hannah Gray, Conservative Party candidate, 1-2-8-4-8. Yes. Chloe Jane Ross, Liberal Democrats, 4-4-3-6. The number of ballot papers rejected was a total of 218. The turnout was 67.93%. I do declare that Liam Joseph Conlon, commonly known as Liam Conlon, is duly elected as the Member of Parliament for the Beckenham.
Face-to-face conversations with people in Beckenham and Penge. Nearly 1,000 volunteers in 6 months. Today alone, we had 4,000 conversations led by 200 volunteers. It shows us the enduring value of our Labour Party mantra. By the strength of our common endeavour, we achieve more together than we could wish to achieve alone. Concerns, the challenges that face you today, and about the hopes and ambitions you have for you and your family, whether it's the cost of living, investment in public services. And I want to say a special thank you to people who have voted Labour for the first time at this election. This morning I was canvassing on Eden Way, and a couple across the road to tell me they've been lifelong Conservative voters, but have voted Labour for the first time. The challenges we faced yesterday will still be there tomorrow when we wake up. But I have no doubt that the Labour MP and the Labour government working for us rather than against our best interests, those challenges can be better solved. I stood in this election because I believe change is possible and change is worth fighting for. We are seeing results right across the country, and I hope vindicate that as well. I look forward to the months and years ahead with a new government and a fresh start across Britain. I also want to say to people in Beckenham and Penge, whether you voted for me, another candidate, or not at all, I will work hard for you. I will be an MP for everyone. Accessible and visible, running an office to serve and support our communities as best I can. And as well as supporting people from Beckenham and Penge, I also want to make a note tonight that I will also work hard nationally for disabled people right across this country. It's not lost on me that when I go to Parliament next week, I'll be one of the very few disabled MPs in Parliament. One of the very few to have a blue badge, to drive an adaptive vehicle, or to have the experiences I had as a child. That representation matters. It matters to people in Beckenham Penge. We have some children in our constituency and our borough waiting 2 years to have an SEND assessment. I look forward to standing up for you with empathy and compassion to bring care and kindness back to our politics. And finally, this is a truly historic moment for the Labour Party in this part of South East London. I am incredibly proud to be the first ever Labour MP for an all Bromley party. Feel free to join me and someone else in the future. But that's all I want to say for now. To the people of Beckenham and Penge, thank you again for putting your faith in me. The hard work begins now, and I can't wait to get started. Thank you.
Today to thank everyone, and they had very, very long days, and some of them continued from there to come here and do the count. So we're talking 24-hour days. So please, would you put your hands together to thank all of the people that have worked so hard for us. I also obviously want to thank my team. I've had a fantastic team that haven't given up no matter what, in the rain as we all have. One minute it's raining, next minute it's sunny. I get told my hair doesn't look like it does in the pictures because it's been rained on for 4 hours. But you know, it's fine. We are going to continue, Liam, sorry about that. But we are going to continue and have a very strong Conservative constituency presence. So we will be here and we will be snapping at your heels, making sure you're doing all those things that you're going to do for the constituency, which I really genuinely hope you do, because we both passionately feel that this constituency needs a really strong constituency MP. And I'm really looking forward to remaining in this constituency and continuing to do the work that I do for this community. So thanks to all of my team for all of your hard work coming out for hours and hours and hours on end, and I think that's quite enough from me. Thank you very much.
We'll play this for Hannah Gray.
Lei forse sarà la prima che io non potrò dimenticare la mia fortuna o il prezzo che dovrò pagare. Lei è la canzone nata qui che ha già cantato chissà chi, l'aria d'estate che ora c'è nel primo autunno su di me. Lei, la schiavitù, la libertà, il dubbio, la serenità, preludio a giorni luminosi oppure bui. Lei sarà lo specchio dove io rifletterò progetti e idee, infine ultimo che avrò da ora in poi. Lei così importante, così unica, dopo la lunga solitudine,
quasi gente imprevedibile. Lei forse l'amore troppo atteso che dall'ombra del passato torna a me per starmi accanto fino a che vivrò. Lei a cui io non rinuncerei, sopravvivendo accanto a lei ad anni combattuti e avversità. Lei sorrisi e lacrime da cui prendono forma i sogni miei, ovunque vada arriverei a passo accanto a lei. Lei.
Charles Aznavour singing She, this time in Italian. Number one this week in 1974. And yes, we'll play that for Councillor Hannah Gray. Right, we've got another declaration.
I'm David Jeffers, being the returning officer for the Orpington constituency. You hereby do notice that the number of votes recorded for each candidate is as follows. Gareth Andrew Bacon, as commonly known as Gareth Bacon, Conservative Party candidate, 17504. John Hunter Bright, Social Democratic Party, 240. Graham E. Casey, Liberal Democrats, 4728. Mark Bradley James, 4UK, 8896. Seamus William John McCauley, Green Party, 2319. Janet Magdalene Elizabeth Owens, commonly known as Jude Owens, Labour Party, 12386. The number of ballot papers rejected was a total of 165. The turnout was 64.86%. And I do hereby declare that Gareth Andrew Bacon, commonly known as Gareth Bacon, was duly elected as a Member of Parliament for the Orpington constituency.
There you have it, Gareth Bacon. One of our first parliamentary interviews we had with him on Bromley Radio regarding UNES.
Number one, this week in 1984, Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Two Tribes. Quite fitting, really, as we wait for the next declaration for Bromley and Biggin Hill.
Two tribes. living in a land where sex and horror are the new.
I, David Jeffries, being the returning officer for the Bromley and Biggin Hill constituency, do hereby give notice that the number of votes recorded for each candidate is as follows. Terence Alan Cook, commonly known as Alan Cook, Form UK 8203. Peter Timothy Fortune, the Conservative Party candidate, 15929. Julie Mary Ireland, commonly known as Julie Ireland, Liberal Democrats, 4352. Karen Natalie Mifflin, commonly known as Karen Miller, the Climate Party, 94. Oana Diana Oluru Holmes, commonly known as Oana Oluru Holmes, Labour Party candidate, 15627. Caroline Ann Sanders, known as Caroline Sanders, Green Party, 2583. Number of ballot papers rejected was a total of 173. The turnout was 66.42%. I do hereby declare that Peter Timothy Fortune is duly elected as the Member of Parliament for Bromley and Biggin Hill constituency.
Returning officer, election staff, the police, and all who have been involved with the count tonight. I know it seems like you're doing this every 6 months or so, and it never gets any easier, so thank you for all of your efforts. They are appreciated. I'd also like to thank my fellow candidates. It's hard work to stand for an election, and I applaud all who do. It takes a heck of a lot to be the man in the arena, and I doff my cap to you. I'd also like to say a special thank you to all the amazing volunteers who have come out to support me. It's a fool's errand to try and name everybody individually, so I'll take the coward's option and say a blanket thank you to everyone. But I know that even all those amazing volunteers will allow me to say a special thank you to Sean and Serena and John, the three musketeers who, over these last few weeks, have provided Herculean efforts to propel a campaign from stationary to light speed in such a short space of time. They have been extraordinary. I'd also like to take a second to talk about family. Politics can be a brutal business, especially in these times of social media. Our families prop us up, they drive us on, and they give us somewhere to be safe, and to be honest, and to be ourselves. There are never any cameras when we're with our family. So I'd like to thank my family, starting with Colin and Diane, who have provided kindness, guidance, and love to a level that I never imagined possible, and certainly don't deserve. My wife, Anne-Marie, is the closest thing I've ever seen to a perfect person. I've always hated the phrase, words fail me, because I can't believe that's possible. There are more than enough words. The truth is, with Anna, I fail words. I do not have the capacity to plumb the lexicon effectively enough to paint a sufficient verbal picture. She is kind, she is clever, she is kind again, because you can never have too much kindness. Anna and my children make me better, and I'll never, ever feel enough to repeat that. She and they are sublime. To Bromley, I love this place. It's been my first home. Most of my adult life has been woven into the service of this place, and I'm so proud of the work that I've done here. The highlight was working with the amazing staff in children's services to ensure that the young people in this borough are safe. And that's the point of politics, to do things, to help. to be elected to this place I love is an honour exceeding anything I could ever have envisioned. There is, without question, a clear message from the country that we need to reflect deeply on what we offer as a Conservative Party. But the mandate I have been given by the people of Bromley and Biggin Hill today will be used to continue to do what I've always done, to do things, to help, to be part of the community and champion the causes we care about. I will never, never forget the opportunity I have been given to serve, and serve you I shall.
So there you have it, the declarations. Bit of history making as Beckenham and Penge have a Labour MP. And congratulations, of course, to Peter Fortune there for being the new MP for Bromley and Biggin Hill, a new constituency. And of course, Gareth Bacon holding his seat there in Orpington. And did you hear how the declaration was made? And the number of votes was literally broken down by literally the numbers, shall we say. And you had to really concentrate to remember what the numbers were to find out who had won as they're going through the numbers. It was really close, especially in Bromley and Biggin Hill. And in fact, there was a recount there. And that's why that announcement there that we heard there, the last one, was round about 5 a.m. in the morning as the sun was rising a little bit, a tiny little bit, because it was raining yesterday as we left there, round about 5:20 a.m. And yes, it rained yesterday quite a lot. A stark contrast to Thursday, voting day. It all worked out in the end. And a big thank you to Bromley Council for accrediting me and Bromley Radio there to be there to bring that to you. Wouldn't it be nice? And I hope that all the MPs and all the councillors, they all get on together and love is all around.
I feel it in my finger. I feel it in my toe. All around me, and so the feeling grows. It's written on the wind, it's everywhere I go. Oh, yes, it is. So if you really love me, come on and
Wet, Wet, Wet. Number one this week in 1994. Yeah, they've been around for a few weeks now, haven't they, at number one? And some. Well, that's it. There is no more. Thank you very much for listening today. And don't forget to check out the Bromley Radio website where you can catch up with this as a podcast. In case you wish to let other people know about this particular broadcast today, our Bromley general election 2024 election special. And of course, later today, Saturday, July the 6th, England are playing against Switzerland in the quarterfinals of the Euros. So we're going to go out with this, and hopefully this will put some sparks in them.
Well, some of the crowd are on the pitch.
Have yourself a good one. Till the next time. Ta-ra.